Scripture reading this evening is taken from two passages. We will first read from Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. Matthew 1, beginning with verse 18. And we're going to read just through verse 22. No, not 22. We'll read to the end of the chapter. Matthew 1, beginning at 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now we turn to Luke 2, verses 1 through 21. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 21. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That last verse, verse 21, is the text for tonight. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And then we turn back to verse 31 of chapter 1. Where the angel says to Mary, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And in the passage we read from Matthew 1, the angel reveals to Joseph in verse 21, And she shall bring forth a son, And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The shepherds said, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. We want to do that tonight by means of the Word of God. Caesar Augustus has issued a decree that all the world should be taxed. That decree was executed during the time that Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. Joseph, too, from Nazareth, together with Mary, his wife, who is great with child. From Galilee, they make their way to Bethlehem of Judea. Upon arriving, they find that the little town is packed with travelers, and there is no room for them in the inn. They find a place to sleep in one of the caves on the edge of town used by travelers for their animals. During that night, Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth, and lays him in the manger. The feed box for the cattle becomes his crib. That's what we see. That's all we see. Just a young husband and his wife and a little newborn infant son. Lying in a manger is that newborn in a stable on the edge of the village Bethlehem. There's no more. A little infant like all other babies, frail and subject to all the infirmities as any other newborn. A young mother and her husband. It has no meaning or significance for us either. We may perhaps rejoice with that young couple and their first child, the circumstances of his birth, the swaddling clothes, the manger, may evoke a certain feeling of pity on our part, but that's all we see, unless by the wonder of God's grace, he makes known to us the name of this little babe. His name is Jesus. And then everything is changed for us. The night of our sin and death becomes the day of joy and gladness. And we go on our way, rejoicing, glorifying, and praising God for all the things we've seen and heard. All because his name is Jesus. And let's consider the fact that God gave him that name. And therefore, it is the name of salvation. And because it is the name of salvation, the name of good tidings of great joy. So named, he was of God. Yes, of God. We read out of Luke 2 that when he was 8 days old, he was circumcised and his name was called Jesus. Mary and Joseph called him Jesus because he was, as we read out of Luke 1, so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That takes us back to that message from Gabriel, God's messenger, who came to the Virgin Mary, who was from Nazareth, with the message, "Hail, thou art highly favored among women. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed because thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And the angel goes on to explain, "He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give to him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary doesn't understand. "How can this be?" is her question. "I know not a man." To her and to all of us, it's an utter impossibility. And it had to be just that, an impossibility from every human point of view. His name is Jesus. Jehovah salvation. And salvation is only and always of the Lord. There is nothing possible from our side of things to save us. Gabriel explains, you will conceive, Mary, not in the human physical way of a man and his wife. No, you will conceive, Mary, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And all this comes to clearer light in Matthew's account. Poor Joseph, he's at a loss. Mary, to whom he is espoused, engaged, in a certain sense already married, at least as far as legality is concerned, the custom was in those days that a couple was espoused, that is, married, became legally husband and wife, yet there was an interval of time between their being legally declared husband and wife and their actual coming together and living together as husband and wife. But Mary, before they came together, is found with child. And Joseph can only reach one conclusion. She must have committed adultery. And he's minded to put her away privately. He doesn't want to make her a public example, the righteous man that he is. And while he's pondering these things and burdened by them, the angel of God comes to him in a dream with this word from God. Joseph, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. And the scripture goes on to explain that all of this was done in fulfillment of what the Lord had spoken by the prophets centuries before this. That prophet was Isaiah. And you'll find this word of the Lord in chapter 7, the 14th verse of his prophecy. There the word of prophecy is this: behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The Lord will give you a sign. And this is the sign: a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And so it is. They named him Jesus because God so named him. Jehovah salvation. This little babe is the revelation of the God of our salvation. Jesus, in fulfillment of prophecy, is Emmanuel, God with us. Come in the likeness of sinful flesh. God himself, the Son of the living God, the only begotten of the Father, coming in to the impossibility of our sin and death, the wonder of all wonders. Now let's go back to Bethlehem, shall we, and see this thing which has come to pass. Yes, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. That's God's decree, His eternal decree to reveal His glory in the Word, which was with Him in the beginning, which is God, according to John 1. The Word made flesh, which dwelt among us, so that we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, who will reveal the God of our salvation through the deep way of the terrible death of the cross and the resurrection victory on the first day of the week. God's eternal decree to send His only begotten into the world, Jesus, to save His people from their sins. And mighty Caesar, representing the whole Roman world, must, in spite of himself, serve that glorious purpose of God in Jesus. And so, there goes out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. All went to be taxed, therefore, each to his own city. Joseph, too, together with Mary, great with child, they go too, even to Bethlehem. For in Bethlehem, the city of David, the son of David, is to be born. And so it was. While they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Of course, that means Mary's days were accomplished, the days of her pregnancy. But it means much more. God's days were accomplished. All the days which God was bringing, during which God was bringing to pass that which He had decreed in the giving of His only begotten Son. All of the days of the Old Testament era, the days of types, the shadows, the pictures, the prophecy, pictures of the reality in Jesus and His cross. All those days were accomplished. The day from the speaking of what our Dutch fathers were fond of calling the mother promise of Genesis 3:15. The enmity that God would put between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And the seed of the woman would crush that seed of the serpent. All those days were accomplished. It is now the fullness of time, the center of all history, the precise point in time when God will send forth His Son, whom He named Jesus, made of a woman, born under the law. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Yes. Mary's firstborn. But people of God, He is God's firstborn. Oh, yes. His name is Jesus, Jehovah, salvation. The firstborn of every creature, the Word, by whom and for whom all things were made, without whom nothing was made that was made. The firstborn of God, in whom all things consist. And one cannot help but remark at this point that that's why Genesis 1, 2, 3, the account of creation, the historical account of creation, must be believed as it is revealed in Holy Scripture. It's not about creation. It's not a question of evolution or big bangs or what have you. It's all about Jesus and the God of our salvation. You lose Genesis 1. You deny Genesis 1 as revealed in the Scriptures. And you lose the gospel and you lose the Lord Jesus. It's that serious. Because he is the firstborn from the dead, they name him Jesus. God had so named him that. He's the eternal Word made flesh, dwelling among us, revealing the glory of the Father. We see that now, don't we? You see that, don't you, people of God? You do, don't you? That babe in that manger, you don't see that with a natural eye. With a natural eye, we can only see a little baby and a manger and a mother. But by faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, we don't see an ordinary baby, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, and who, according to the Scriptures, was made that for the suffering of death, and is crowned through that suffering with glory, so that Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He is indeed Emmanuel, God with us. How wondrous are the ways of God, as we often sing, unfathomed and unknown. Yes, except when by the grace of God, through the gift of faith, we understand and believe with all our hearts that God named him from all eternity, Jesus, Jehovah, salvation. Yes, that is who and what he is. Name Jesus. Joseph is told why. Because he shall save his people from their sins. His people. That's divine, eternal, unconditional election of grace. Let those who accuse us of the Protestant Reformed churches of making far too much of election have their say. This is what it is. How in the wide world can one make too much of what God did in that wonderful decree of his election in Christ Jesus, according to which he took you and me and conformed us to the image of him, his own dear son, whose name is Jesus. There's your comfort. There's everything. To many, his own even, who had the law and the prophets, to those many He's just a baby. He's a stone of stumbling, the scripture explains, and a rock of offense. His name is scorned. To many, the salvation of Jehovah revealed in his blessed name, Jesus, is a hard saying. It's foolishness. He saves his people from their sins. The laboring, the heavy laden, his sheep, not the wise, not the prudent of this world. They belong to Satan and his brood, the seed of the serpent, the reprobate. These he does not save. They hear the terrible words he spoke moments before the cross. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. He spoke of it often. I came not to call the righteous, self-righteous, to repentance, but sinners. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. A wee little man, as we learned as children in that little hymn, Zacchaeus, up there in the tree. I came to lay down my life as the good shepherd for my sheep. These he saves, his elect, out of all nations under heaven. His people these are, whom God has predestinated to be conformed to his image, those whom God loved from all eternity, those born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, these elect with whom he established his covenant of gracious friendship, these he saved from their sins, all their willful missing of the mark of the glory of God, and from all their transgressions, from all the sins into which they plunged themselves, from all the misery of their dying. That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus, the gospel of Christmas. Take that away, people of God. Take sin and depravity out of Christmas, and you lose Christmas, and all you have is a little baby in a manger, and all you have is the son of a man and his wife. No gospel, no Son of God, no salvation. Name him Jesus. That's the word of God, because he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save them, yes, lift them out of the lowest misery of death and hell into the glory of his own wonderful fellowship with God. Save them. That's his cross. That's his resurrection. He'll bear the wrath of God you and I deserve, and forever lift that burden of guilt from you and me. He'll destroy him that had the power of death and make his people new creatures. He'll do that. It's certain. It cannot fail. Why? Because God named him Jesus, Jehovah's salvation. Now, people of God, let's go to Bethlehem, shall we? And see that? Then we see that he saves his people from their sins. And that's seen in the fact that there was no room for them in the inn. A stable, mind you, not the palace in Rome, not even the temple rebuilt in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, according to his own word, stones and kills the prophets. That's not where we find Jesus. A manger serves as his crib. Strips of cloth for clothing. And it all points to his humiliation. The only begotten Son of God in the likeness of our flesh. Like us in all respects. Tempted as we, yet without sin. There he is. Come into this world of woe to save his people from their sins. That's the gospel that went forth that night to you, to common shepherds, not to scribes, not to Pharisees who prided themselves in their work righteousness, not to Sadducees who denied the resurrection and thus whose faith was vain and empty and utterly futile, but to you shepherds is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. To you and to all the people born of God, shepherds, an old man, Simeon by name, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And an old woman, Anna, serving God day and night with prayers and fastings. And to all of them, a little remnant that looked for redemption in Israel. And because his name is Jesus, his name is Good Tidings of Great Joy. Fear not. Oh, what a blessed word. What? What is there left to fear? God has come in the flesh. Our sins are forgiven. Jesus is born. Christ, the Lord. God's anointed, the prophet who reveals the word and will of God. The priest who lays down his life and makes atonement for the sins of the people. And who makes intercession for us even now as we preach before the throne of God. The Lord, before whom every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father at the end of the ages coming again to make all things new. Good tidings, great joy, the joy of salvation from sin and death, the joy of fellowship with God. Do you see this thing which has come to pass? Do you hear the glad news of great joy? Does it thrill your hearts? Do you belong to the His people whom He saved? Oh, you can know, and you do know. Do you labor? Are you heavy laden? Do your sins rise up against you, prevailing day by day? Do you struggle, burdened under the guilt of sin? Come to Bethlehem. His name is Jesus. Hear his voice. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. He is Jesus. He's Jehovah salvation, the one who was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Perhaps you're grieving. Maybe the sorrows of death compass you. Perhaps there's an empty chair at your dinner table today. There's good tidings of great joy for you because His name is Jesus. He's the man of sorrows. The prophet told us, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He did that. He saved us from our sins. He entered our death and our grave. And He arose again. And He lives. That's who it is, that babe in Bethlehem. I hear Him say, and you hear Him too, don't you? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he spoke this, as you recall, at the grave of Lazarus. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's why I'm going now. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yes, people of God, His name is Jesus. And therefore, we can shout with the inspired apostle, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Are you sick? Come to Bethlehem. His name is Jesus. He shall save His people from their sins, and that means from all the effects and bitter fruits of those sins as well. Yes, He bore our sicknesses and our pains, and He heals our diseases. And through all of them, He deepens our faith, He encourages our hope, and He brings us to glory, where God wipes away all tears from our eyes. Are you anxious? At the point of despair, deeply in grief, fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy. His name is Jesus. He saved us from our sins. He's the merciful high priest who went into the presence of God on our behalf, touched with the feelings of our infirmity. Tempted in all points as we, yet without sin. And because He's all of that, we have boldness to go to God's throne of grace, to find mercy and obtain grace to help in all our need. That's what Christmas is all about. It's not tinsel and trees and whatnot all else. It's all about Jesus, named of God, because He saved His people from their sins. Rejoice then, O child of God. Be glad, exceedingly glad, no matter your life circumstances. Jehovah's salvation has come, born of the Virgin, by the wonder of the work of the Holy Spirit. From the manger, He went to the cross. From the cross, He was raised to everlasting life and glory. And He sits right now at God's right hand, governing all things, executing God's eternal purpose and counsel. to bring about the final salvation of the church and the final manifestation of the glory of God's great name. He's going to come just as we've seen him go, and it won't be long. He said so. Behold, I come quickly. And when he comes, there will be no more sorrow, no more crying. God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, because there will be no more sin, there will be no more death. Everything will be new, all because God named him Jesus. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the great and unspeakable gift of thine only begotten Son. We thank thee for all that he did for us in his incarnation, in his cross, in his resurrection. We thank thee for the faith thou dost work in our hearts through his Spirit and by means of his word, so that we believe in Jesus, Jehovah salvation. Bless us now as we continue our pilgrimage in the hope that will never put us to shame. For Jesus' sake, amen.